Welcome to the Wolverine Digest Podcast, the best spot for objective and authentic coverage of Michigan athletics. If you want open dialogue, honest opinions, and in-depth coverage of the maize and blue, this is the podcast for you. And now, here's your host, Brandon Brown.
Wow! It's been a minute. It's been well over a month. I've been a little ill. I've been trying to find a crew. What do I call them? A crew? A panel? Bunch of Yahoos? Something. I don't know. You'll see momentarily here. Super excited to be back on, doing a live show again, doing the podcast again. Definitely going to be an every Wednesday thing. Maybe ramp it up a little bit since spring football is going on right now and the spring game is coming April 20th. But for now, it will just be one day a week. And I'm super excited to announce that I have somewhat of a staff. Now, I have one person. I'm going to introduce him first that's going to be helping me out much more regularly than the other guys. He's not an unfamiliar name. It's funny. I'll let him tell the story when he jumps on here. But I'm super excited to be working with Mr. Eric Rutter again. This goes way back. Eric, tell the quick Facebook memory story that happened like randomly the other day when you and I first talked again for it's been a long time since we even shot a text.
It's been a minute. Yeah. Hey everyone, how are you doing? A couple days ago I was on Facebook and got a little notification about a memory from 11 years ago. I was letting all my family know that I'd be writing for the M Block with Brandon and to stay tuned for some more updates. And who knew that 11 years later, it'd be taking us to this place with Michigan as national champions. It's beautiful. Thanks for having me, Brandon.
Yeah, dude, for sure. So Eric is going to be part-time. He's living up in Traverse City, so he's not in the Ann Arbor area, but he is going to be around in the fall, hopefully shooting some games and doing some more involved stuff like that. And in the meantime, kind of part-time writing. Eric's been he's a phenomenal writer, really good with the camera, so I'm excited to see about all that stuff. And hopefully, if we can keep him in the country, because this dude is like a rambling man. He's like half gypsy or something. If you go to his Instagram, he's got some of the craziest pictures I've ever seen. And you're going to the Amazon in like a couple weeks, so you're going to be gone for a little while here. But super excited to have Eric back in the fold again. Yeah, like, dude, you were just a baby. 10 years ago, what were you, like 20, 22?
20 years old, fresh, still in college.
Yeah, that's crazy to think about. Absolutely. So super excited to have Eric back in the fold, and he's going to be with me most of the time whenever he can. So glad that he could jump on board and be involved. Another person coming on board here. I can't say that he's familiar, but he's done at least one other show before. Two seasons ago when Chris and I were out, you know, making our rounds, talking to fans, kissing babies, doing that whole thing at the Penn State game. We were parked right across the street. We were busy, probably had a little bit too much to drink, didn't really want to do the show. We grabbed our buddy Zach, who is a big Penn State fan, and our buddy Nick and said, go do the show. And I can't believe Nick's back doing the show. Nick, how'd that show go, if you could recall, from 2 years ago?
From what I can recall, I did most of the heavy lifting. Zach happened to be there. I kept trying to throw it to him to get some good commentary out of him, and it was mostly just some one-liners trying to, you know, justify Penn State even being in that game. But it was wild. Yeah, you guys just kind of threw us in there. It was my first podcast thing. I didn't know what to do with my hands. I was just kind of in there. So
Nick and Zach are both teachers, so I thought like, oh, they'll be all right. And I don't know. It's learned. It's different. It's weird. I've talked about this 100 times. Like, I could get together with Nick and Eric and whoever else, and we could talk football, and it's like the most easy, natural thing. And there's something about when you jump on here and do it, you just start kind of acting out of character, and it just takes a little time to get comfortable and really launch into it. But yeah. I'm excited that Nick's
the casual element.
Yeah, the casual element kind of goes away, but I'm excited Nick's here. I mean, you know, we went to a really small high school in New Lothar, but we're talking about a dominant athlete here in Mr. Nick Henneke. So put a bow on a season last night. He's an assistant varsity basketball coach for the girls program and almost made it to the Brez. So unfortunately you lost and you're here, but like that's still a pretty cool run.
Yep, 4 points short, but, you know, good season nonetheless. And you forgot, I'm the only one on this panel who has won a state title as a coach. Oh,
wow. Throwing a little shout out.
Fourth grade girls basketball, man. You got to.
That's right.
Title's a title.
Title is a title. All right. Up next, another. I can't believe that three people from New Lothrop are even allowed to like have a podcast. Four, if we get into the last guest, we'll be there momentarily. But some of you guys who have been following the podcast and following Wolverine Digest and watching along on YouTube or Facebook or wherever might recognize the name. He's been watching us a lot. Been a friend of mine for a really long time. Supportive and really knows his stuff. Another, dare I say, dominant athlete from New Lothrop, Mr. Dan Genro, also joining us. Dan, I like Dan because he says exactly what he's thinking, and he's not really going to care too much about what we think about that. And I am
usually thinking something.
You need that.
You won't find a lot of topics I don't have an opinion on.
There you go. And I think that's important. I mean, I've been that way through most of my career covering Michigan. It got me into trouble sometimes. Sometimes it got me out of trouble, but I think that's valuable. Dan, the three of us, myself, Nick, and Dan, we graduated together. We've known each other for 25 years, probably. I mean, if you go back to when we first all met, it's been a long time. So pretty cool to have that. Yeah, there's CJ Frazier. You see, CJ throws some F-bombs out there, so it's like it's so loud. But yeah, so another regular. CJ's actually done an episode of the show before too. When the speaker went out, I had to jump off and CJ jumped on. So anyway, and oh boy, last but not least, the only person here who has known me longer than these guys, literally known me every second of my entire life, has known Dan and Nick also for a really long time, because we all grew up together and have known each other for a long time. I'm a little concerned, but he's here for at least this first episode in the reboot. It's the original Coach Brown. My dad, Scott Brown, also in New Lothrop. So Nick technically isn't in our hometown, but pretty close.
We are currently using all of the bandwidth for our area. Yeah.
So probably true. If Dad, I don't know. I mean, do you have anything you want to say right now? I mean, I know we're going to hear from you. Don't do any of the product pitching you were doing earlier. We don't need that.
I won't do any of that. I won't do any of that at all.
So. All right. Yeah.
You've already made one mistake, son, on your first podcast.
I didn't turn it off, or did I?
You said 25 years?
It's like 35 years.
Yeah, it's probably 35 years.
35, yeah.
Nick and I used to ride the bus together in like first grade.
Yep.
Wild.
Made up our own songs.
Just had to clear that up. You are going to be 40 this year. So
yeah, that's true. On. Nick turned 40 last year. Dan's got one coming up next month. I'm a little later on in the summer.
Yep.
Crazy. Right. So we've got CJ in the house, my mom and my uncle. And I think that might be the only people. No, there's over 200 people in here right now, which is incredible. Again, awesome. Thank you guys for tuning in. I know it's been a long time since I've been on here, since Jim Harbaugh was hired with the Chargers. You know, with Chris and I going our separate ways, it took a little time to – my dad has an opinion on the Jim Harbaugh thing, which I didn't know about until just a little bit ago. But it took a little while because I wanted to find someone who was going to be able to be here with me most of the time. Again, hopefully that's Eric. He does have some things coming up, and that's cool. And then I wanted to kind of find a panel – where I could bring some people in that I trust their opinion. I trust where they're from, what they're about. Again, that's the New Lothrop roots that I come to know and love. And this is the ragtag group. So if you hate it, well, I don't know. We'll see how it goes, but I think it's going to go all right. And it's cool just to be back talking Michigan football. As Eric said, yeah. Dude, they're national champs. Absolutely. I mean, like, that's sweet. It's something I didn't know if I would ever really see in my life. Dan, I know you were at the Rose Bowl. Did you make it to the championship game too?
No.
Or just the Rose? Okay, just so the Rose Bowl was incredible. That was one of the, me and Chris did a show there. And then not long after Jim Harbaugh takes the Chargers job, then I did a show by myself. And that was it. That was the last time I was on. So obviously a ton of things have happened. I'm not going to get into tons of specifics about Sharon Moore's staff because it's kind of been established at this point. He hired a bunch of new guys, tons of positions to fill. But there were a couple things that happened throughout that I kind of want to get your guys' opinion on. And then we'll talk about the basketball program, then we'll finish with football as well. Because even though it's like so far off in the future, that's still what everybody wants to talk about is football. And the spring game is only about it's a month away, exactly, to the day. So the thing I want to talk about with Sherrone Moore's staff is the fact that he got younger, more diverse. You know, some of the older dudes have moved on. A lot of them went with Jim Harbaugh. I think that's why my dad is upset over there. Okay, let's start there, I guess, Dad, because I know you want to.
Ryan.
Yeah, I know you want to, Dad. Why does that bother? I mean, like, it's Jim Harbaugh's job to do the best job with the Chargers. So why? I mean, he took really good coaches with him. What's wrong with that?
My opinion is if you're a Michigan man, you leave Michigan alone. You go find your own dudes.
Okay.
I mean, let them continue on with the championship.
Yeah.
Maybe garner two or three. If he would have won two or three more and then want to go back to the NFL, I could live with that. But to be one and done, like all the, you know how I feel about the one and dones.
Yeah.
Don't even have to follow college basketball anymore because of that. But
there was a really kind of crazy narrative, and it's weird to even ask the question because obviously Michigan went 15-0, won a national championship. But did Jim Harbaugh, like, did he actually leave the program in better shape? It seems like a crazy question to ask, but like, did he leave the program in better shape than it was when he got there? I know that's nuts, but like,
when he got here, yeah.
Yeah, when he got here, sure.
Absolutely.
I think so.
Yeah, you can't take anything away from what they did with him there, although championship year he did miss a few games, so.
Yeah.
Three times CFP finalist.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you make it to the playoffs three times, you win the whole thing. I mean, that's – but it's crazy to think about the challenges that Sherrone Moore has now because of what Harbaugh did on the way out. And it's
– Yeah, put him in a big hole.
I don't think there's a lot of people that disagree with my dad. I mean, I really don't, but it's hard. Like, those were, I see Douglas here in the comments saying those were his guys. Like, he got them at Michigan. So he
brought them here, right?
Yeah. He kind of has a right. You know,
they're Harbaugh guys at some juncture. They're either a Jim Harbaugh or a John Harbaugh guy. They just kind of swap them and ship them across the country to each other.
I do see that aspect of it. I do.
So it's tough. I mean, like, Harbaugh wants to go there and have the best staff available, and he's using guys that he's familiar with and trying to – I don't know. Jim Harbaugh doesn't really have, like, human emotions anyway, so I don't know if he really – like, any of this even really registers. He's just, like, football guy, and like, that's what he does. But I don't know. I think
– you don't got to change your opinion, though. I mean, you have the – you're as a fan, you can be mad about it. He can take him, and you can be mad. I mean, you're a – Michigan fan, not a Jim Harbaugh fan. So I can, you know, absolutely.
I do have a question about that take, though, that I found a little bit interesting. It was the caveat of winning multiple national championships. Now, that would be a wonderful reality were that to happen at Michigan. But I'm not sure how much that changes on a material level with Jim taking his coaches to the Chargers.
Yeah, I mean, why would that matter? One or two or three, like he did it.
Like, after one, to be honest, I was 4 years old when Michigan won in 1997, so this was a very new thing for me. It's the seminal moment of my life, perhaps. It's everything I wanted and more. I can't ask for more from Jim. Perhaps I have a younger, you know, perspective on it, so it's different, but that was my perception.
I know when we were talking about it earlier, Eric was like, oh, love that guy. He could do no wrong. Love him. And my dad's like, no. He took from Michigan. He did this. He did that. So I don't know. It's an interesting topic. And
steal
I
is a very difficult word to use with Jim and Michigan lately. Maybe.
Borrow. Yeah. Him and John Harbaugh were doing an interview and they said something like steal. And John was like, don't use the word steal when you're talking to Jim right now. I thought that was pretty
funny. That's probably why it was in my mind. Well, in
Jim Harbaugh's defense, how much of just his dealings with the NCAA.
Oh yeah.
And NIL and all the other headaches that are with it. You got this NFL opportunity where you don't have to deal with all that kind of stuff. You got agents who are taking care of all the money and all the endorsements and deals of that nature. He doesn't have to worry about a second or a third string running back coming to him and saying, hey, I need $100,000 to be your second or third string running back. It's hard to really argue with that decision. If, you know, if I'm Jim Harbaugh, I might do the same thing.
Yeah, and not just Jim, but the guys that went with him too.
Right.
Same thing. CJ's point, right? They didn't go against their will. Like they, exactly. You know, they had it. They had an option to stay.
True. That's true.
Maybe.
Well, they got a raise too, right?
We don't know that for sure, actually. Like, does Sherrone, did Sherrone Moore want to keep Mike Elston? Maybe not. I don't know that, but like, you know, a new coach comes in, he might want some. I guarantee some of them would have. Ben Herbert would have been allowed to stay. Steve Klinkscale would have been allowed to stay, because actually it looked like he was going to stay, and then kind of last minute he had informed the team that he was leaving and he left. So it's kind of a weird topic. I think there's probably pretty big groups who think both ways. They feel like Jim, you know, stole from the program and left them with an empty cupboard, and on the other hand, you know, he did win a title and kind of ran off into the sunset in like the perfect way. Like, what more could he have done? So
yeah, there's pros and cons. There's pros and cons for all that.
Because of that, this is another area of division that I've seen over the last month. Again, not doing a show, and this is interesting for like Dan and Nick and myself because of our age. Again, Eric was a little younger. Dad has some older favorite players too. But now with the new staff, Mike Hart is gone. And a lot of people were like, what? How do you let the legendary number 20, how do you let him get out of there? And we've heard personal reasons. You know, he had some health stuff. Like, let's be honest, he was looked over for the job. He wanted to be a head coach. I don't know if he was even in the running for it at Michigan. Then he also didn't get the OC job. Was there some animosity with him and Sherrone? I don't know. I'm not saying there was, but he didn't get those jobs, and those are jobs that he's wanted. So I guess just initial thoughts on, again, Dan, Nick, and myself watched Mike Hart in his heyday. I mean, we love the guy. I mean, from a player standpoint and what he did at Michigan and his lore and his status, and then he comes back to Michigan to coach, and you just kind of love it by default. And he did a pretty good job. Wasn't the most dynamic recruiter, but he seemed to do a lot with whoever he had. And now he's gone. Thoughts on that?
And he loved it here too. So I feel like we'll know those answers to your questions as soon as we find out. Like, if he lands somewhere else, then there's animosity between him and Sherrone. You know, all those things are probably true. If he doesn't, then he's got health reasons, right? He's got health. Yeah. You know, whatever it was with the health side of it.
Because as of right now,
it's going to be pretty telling.
As of right now, he's still on the market. He hasn't been hired by anywhere else. I don't even know if he's interviewed or not. I know
in the past, rumor of any of that.
Yeah, in the past, he'd interviewed for stuff. Like, while he was at Michigan, before he got to Michigan, he was trying to climb the ladder. And now he's kind of in the state of limbo a little bit.
That's a good point.
I don't know. I just think it's we'll get into the Juwan Howard stuff too. It's like this weird area when you've got a dude that's so beloved as a player, and then he comes on as a coach, whether he does really good or he doesn't do so good. Like, you still, Dad, I don't know, like, you're older. I know you watched Mike Hart, so he wasn't in, you know, in your formative years like maybe he was for us, but is it just like, it's just a business, whatever, he'll be fine? Or is it like, do you feel like, damn, that's Mike Hart, man? Like, take care of your own.
No, you had a good point about him. We've talked about it before. Him being overlooked probably has more to do with it than anything. Yeah. In his mind. Now, maybe he wasn't the best guy for the job, and you guys have all talked about Sherrone wanting his own crew, if you want to put a name on it. So
it's hard you to could argue probably, what he, probably what
I would
feel,
I would say more. he's probably more upset with Michigan more than Sherrone.
Perhaps. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Nick, you just said, I mean, like, you know, Blake Corum was a pretty big recruit. He wasn't, like, incredible. But Hassan Haskins was, like, a nobody on the recruiting trail.
Right.
Karan Higdon, and
what did they turn
he was
into?
Before Mike Hart. Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean,
we talked about it a little bit the other day. You could see the difference in their running style after Mike Hart got there. They almost looked like a version of Mike Hart. When you watch Mike Hart back when we all watched him religiously, he was a very patient runner. He'd get up to the line, he'd find a hole, make a jump cut, and then hit it. And that's exactly what Blake Corum would do. Now, Blake Corum's a freak. Mm-hmm. You know, he's the guy in the weight room, you know, more than anybody else. He's got amazing talent. But how much of that also is coaching and teaching those guys to be more patient, find the hole, follow your blocker? Like, before Mike Hart was here, we didn't have that.
You saw two phenomenal examples of it from Donovan Edwards in the title game. I mean, like, that's – yeah, they're not the same player, and they're, you know, both probably a little more gifted physically than Mike Hart was, both Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards. But yeah, I mean, I was talking to my dad about this, maybe you guys too, when we got together over the weekend. Do you think that running back coaches, do you think that they I don't want to say like they have the least to coach. That sounds bad, but like out of all the positions on the football field, isn't running back maybe the most just in, you either got it or you don't. That's like there's so many things you can learn at the other spots, Brandon, but I don't know.
To Nick's original point, like I don't have any doubt in my mind that he's a good running backs coach, but we're talking about moving up the ladder. I mean, what does it say? What is this? Like Jim wasn't trying to take him to San Diego, right? You know, it doesn't look like Sharon, maybe unless it's truthfully a health issue where he just
step
away. It doesn't look like, you know, Sharon was screaming to keep him there. So, you know, maybe they just don't look at him like a guy who could be a head coach. I mean, I don't know. I'm not in the locker room, but I just, I feel like he's probably a pretty good running backs coach, but maybe not OC or head coach material.
Hey, we've seen that at different levels with different guys. And I think, Eric, you were just about to say what my next topic was. It'd be a good segue. I think I know where you're going.
Do you think this is a good time to shout out Tony Alford and who Sharon Moore picked to replace Mike Hart and how prolific of a recruiter he was at Ohio State? I believe he signed eight or nine top 300 running backs during his time coaching for the Buckeyes.
Yeah, and before that, he was at Notre Dame coaching receivers, which I didn't even know. He coached Michael Floyd to back-to-back 1,000-yard receiving seasons, and he became a first-round pick. So, like, the dude can coach. He's a phenomenal recruiter. He's from Ohio. It's weird when you take a dude from Ohio State, but we saw it the other way. You know, Greg Madison went from Michigan to Ohio State. Al Washington did the same thing.
Yep.
It's strange, but if they're good coaches and good recruiters, like I'm all for it.
I'm all for it, especially stealing somebody from Ohio State.
Yeah. I mean,
Ohio. I don't ever say state.
Addition by subtraction, if you want to call it that. I mean, I don't know if Ohio State has hired a new running backs coach yet. I'm not sure. I'm sure they'll get somebody good. That's a premier program. They'll get some, but like it hurts a lot of people. This is where I was going to go to. I had this written down. Is it wrong, even if you believe it in your heart, to say that Michigan upgraded? Because I actually think they did. I think they did.
Yeah.
And I love Mike Hart.
You pointed to one thing when you talked about both guys separately. One was not a great recruiter, and one is a great recruiter. So even if they're equal as a running backs coach, that's an upgrade.
Yep. Yeah,
right.
That's kind of how I look at it.
And you and I talked about it a little bit last week, Brandon, that there might be some of the same stuff going on at Ohio State with him that maybe went on here. Like he didn't get boosted up to OC. You know, they hired two different ones this offseason, and he didn't get mentioned.
Yeah, so he's been there 8 years, twice as long as Hart. I mean, that's
probably a big part of why Sharon was able to steal him out of there. But I don't think it's because I don't think they look down on him as a coach. I mean, I think they think he's a good coach there.
Well, my question,
obviously they'll talk smack now, but
I got a question with that though too. Like, is Alford also a guy who maybe just wants to be a position coach, or does he want to move up? There's some guys that, like, look at what Chip Kelly just did. Going to Ohio State to be an offensive coordinator. He just said, I don't want a head coach. I want to actually coach.
Yeah.
I want to actually work with the kids.
One of the craziest moves of this offseason, I think.
Yeah, it's crazy. There's some guys where that's their niche. That's their thing. They know what their fit is. They know what they're good at, and that's just where they want to be.
Yeah.
You're also going to see more and more of that as this NIL transfer portal stuff gets crazier and crazier. I mean, you know, Saban famously has now said, like, it used to be, and whether you think Saban was toeing the line or not, which I don't think he was, he had his advantages for certain reasons, but he did get the results. It's, you know, when you get the best player at every position every year, results are pretty easy to come by. But the point is, he did get guys, developed them, put them in the league, took care of them. And now he said, like, that's not even, they don't even care. They don't want to know about playing time. They don't want to know about development. They want to know how much am I getting paid? What kind of deals are you going to get me? Or I'm going to leave, or what, you know, like, even a guy like Saban, who's won it all a billion times.
So short.
Yeah. They forget about like what they did last year and what could be on the horizon if they just stay put. Have you guys seen this Caden Proctor stuff? The kid that went from Alabama to Iowa and now is back at, he's from Iowa. Okay. In high school, he committed to Iowa. Then he flipped to Alabama, went to Bama as a true freshman, started every game last year on the O-line, went in the transfer portal, went to Iowa, got a big old chunk of $100,000 from like the NIL fund, and now is back at Alabama and doesn't have to give any of it back. Yeah. Insane.
I never heard that.
Insane.
That is insane.
Sounds like robbery.
They're going to have to get to
some point. I don't think it's the last time you'll hear of it either.
Yeah.
These guys, they're going to have to get to a point where this NIL stuff's going to have to be regulated. These guys, they're going to have to sign into contracts. They're going to have to, because it's just like that story right there, like you just said, is going to be the norm.
Well, it's also
crazy.
It's also going to start to shrivel up the guys who legitimately want to give money to their alma maters and help out. What if, like, I just gave $100,000 to that kid. He's not even here. Like, what am I doing? Like, you know, it's just bad. It's bad in a lot of directions. And that's one of the, like, Quinn Ewers kind of did something similar. He went to Ohio State because the laws in Texas didn't allow him to do A, B, and C. And then he leaves Ohio State and goes to Texas with a big bag of money. Like, I don't know, man, that seems a little bit crazy, but, to Nick's point, like, it's not a bad living to make like $750,000 coaching running backs and just being really good at it.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. Did we lose Eric? Eric looks like we might have lost here.
He's frozen.
He's frozen.
He's really, really focused on what we're saying right now.
I'm going to take him out and we'll bring him back in when he's good to go. So it's just it's a weird thing when you see a guy come from Ohio State right to Michigan. But again, I do, you know, I'm trying to see what the comments are saying. Did people threaten me when I said that I think it's an upgrade over Mike Hart? Because I actually think that it is.
I agree.
I didn't see any of that.
You see it here. You can love him, but he wasn't a great recruiter. He didn't get out there and really, really get after it. And Tony Alford, by all accounts, does exactly that. And what that will end up looking. And it's funny. I was talking, shooting a few texts to Sharon Moore the other day. But I did, and he actually responded. I couldn't believe it. He usually doesn't, but he did this time. And he said he's a beast. He's like, he's a beast. He's an incredible recruiter. I thought they may have over, because Tony Alford and Sharon both have a history at Louisville, but they didn't actually overlap. But they've known each other for a really long time, and so he's super happy about the hire and everything. And, you know, all accounts are that he's just relentless on the recruiting trail. And because of that, he knows Donovan Edwards really well, because Donovan Edwards was considering like Ohio State and Georgia were probably like his other two schools. And the kid that Michigan just got this past year, Jordan Marshall, was Mr. Football in Ohio. Like Ohio State was all over.
There's going to be a lot of overlap.
There's a recruit right now too that he, you know, was leaning towards Ohio State. Now it sounds like he's still
giving a look to Michigan.
Yeah, with his position coach. Yeah, I can't think of his name right now though.
Derek, Eric plugged in his iPad and it froze. Come on, man.
With the NIL money, you got to have the best recruiters you can get.
Yeah.
It'll come down. If there's five schools offering a kid $1 million, then you better have a recruiter that can get it.
Well, you just got to have a million. No, you just have to have a million and one.
Well, yeah. Yeah. True. It feels like the
million
the,
in a
the time of building a team like this year's Michigan team.
Gone
might be in the past, you know, building real program with program guy. I mean, obviously they're bringing in some transfer portal guys, but you know, guys that just buy into the program from day one. Like this was a different kind of team, and
they're going to be good, man. They're going to be good.
Yeah. How do you build like that nowadays?
Yeah, it's free tough, agency. Man.
Free agency. Tough. I mean, you're going to have like we had last year. You're going to have the graduate transfers who maybe could be second round pick on the O line who are going to say, you know what, I'm going to go play 1 year at Michigan and bump my stock up, and I'm going to be a first round pick. Yeah. That's what Michigan's going to be. That's why keeping Sharon Moore was such a big deal, because you're going to have that foundation right there on that line of we're going to have dudes coming in here every year that want to play for this guy.
This is a great segue. I don't have this written down, but I liked what Nick just said right there. And then we're going to go to basketball, and then we're going to close out with some Sharon Moore and football stuff. He just said hiring Sharon Moore was the right thing to do. What was that the right thing to do? We're talking about another guy who no head coaching experience. I'm not going to do it feels like Juwan Howard thing. I'm not going to do that, but he's taking over. Like he was just thrown the keys to a Ferrari and he's never driven one before. Like I had pause about it, even though I love Juwan Howard. I love the fact like he could do no wrong in my eyes, but I'm like, he's never been a coach ever. Like, that's a problem.
Sharon did coach four games.
He had four games this year. It's a little different, but that's not.
I mean, you get some credit for that, but
three big
it's not games. The same thing.
Three that's big
not,
games.
That's
three
not hiring games. A staff. That's not running practice day in and day out. That's not. But I don't know. I love Sharon. I've known him personally since he was at CMU. I think he's a star. Right. I think he's super bright. He's got all the pieces you need to be a good coach. But it's a – it's a big deal jumping from where he went to where he's at right out of the gate and taking over the national champ. Like, actually, I don't know if it's ever been done, to be honest. Like, I haven't done the research, but I don't know if a person who's never been a head coach has ever taken over the national champion.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's ever happened.
Right.
So,
well, and to stick with your Ferrari analogy, like, yeah, he was handed the keys to a Ferrari and he was able to keep all his other teams from coming and stealing the wheels and the fenders and all the parts. Yeah, but can he drive the car? Now we got to find out if he can drive the car.
That's just it.
You better learn how to drive a stick really quick.
That's right. You just took the words out of my mouth, Scott. Because I was going to say, do you keep the guy who's been watching the guy drive the Ferrari, or do you bring in somebody else who has no idea what's going on there and said, hey, you take the keys? He has zero idea how to drive.
This roster would look very different if they didn't keep him. I have no doubt about that. I mean, you lost what, one real part?
Yeah. I mean, Keon Sab is probably the only one you're really going to miss.
Outside of him, like, nobody that was really expected to contribute this year.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, for the way the transfer portal is, just back and forth, like for Michigan to lose one guy in the fallout of Jim Harbaugh being hired,
very impressive.
There's Eric. Welcome back. Hey, now we're in different spots. We'll figure it out. That's a great point, Nick. Like, yeah, he's never been a head coach, but he saw every single thing the entire season and knows what Jim did and how he did it, and he'll certainly put his own spin on things, but. So I guess that's really what it comes down to. What's more valuable, having that huge bag of knowledge and all the things that go along with the program you're inheriting, or having the experience of running an entire program before, which he doesn't have? I mean, it's a debate you can go back and forth on. I mean, like, there would have been worse options, no doubt. Do you think there's better options? Like, is there another guy out there? Like, if you could hire anybody, like, who's somebody that you'd be like, I'll take that guy instead of Sharon? Like, I'll take him. Like, I mean, Saban, okay, I don't know, whatever. But, like, is there a guy that...
Dan Campbell.
Motor City Dan Campbell. Yeah.
Bite some kneecaps. I'd take that guy.
Yeah, so if it's hard to answer, because that's always the question you get. I mean, for years now, I'd be like, Jim Harbaugh wants to go to the NFL, and it might be time to go. And the first thing out of people's mouth, who are you going to get then? Like, well, I don't know. Like, there's a lot of dudes that coach football, man. Like, you'll find somebody.
That is legitimate. That is legitimate.
It is. And this year, you know, Sharon will be the guy. And I'm, you know, barring whoever it would have been, it was going to be tough, though. Like, that's also something you have to consider. Next year's going to be tough.
Even if Jim stayed, we were going to lose, what, 17, 18 guys to the NFL?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it would have been tough if he stayed.
Yeah. Eric, now that you're back and functional.
Yeah. I think a big part of answering your question of who do you replace Jim with, it's something that kind of extends to the program as a whole on a larger scale. Does it have to be a Michigan man still, or can they look outside of kind of that window, those umbrella of coaches already? And it's something that Ward Manuel, he's going to have to answer that if he's in a different direction. But with Juwan Howard right now, there's not
a lot. Got to be a Michigan man. Got to be a Michigan man.
Tell him, Scott.
I got so sick of that sentiment, though, covering this program for 10 years. I'm like, there's many good dudes out there. Yeah.
There are, but think of your fan base and how big your fan base is.
Yeah.
Like, if it's that important to your fan base and you have that many people that are just diehard, love your team, like, look at how everything just coalesced around a Michigan man, you know.
I know.
Bringing it back to the promised land, like, it's hard to
those who stay the whole it. I know, man, what else do we have in college football if we don't have that stuff it does feel more important in football, especially at a place like Michigan, than it does for basketball. But I just remember thinking, like, God, dude, there's so many good coaches out there that may not even get a look because they don't have some deep Michigan roots. And I just feel you're kind of handcuffing yourself a little bit when you do that.
Come be an assistant for a while and then get those. Yeah. Ones. That's what they got to do. Work your way up the ladder.
Right.
So, I don't know. I didn't realize you were felt that strongly about it having to be a Michigan man.
Well, I do. I do. I really do.
Next point of, I guess, who would you?
Yeah, I was.
What? Rich
was
Rod, thinking, right? I mean, Rich that's Rod. Who you're referring to. Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking that as Nick said it. I was thinking that. Thinking
I don't
that
know
exact
if that's
thing.
Emblematic of what a non Michigan man will do to the program. I think that's a special circumstance where Rich Rod, his program fell apart defensively. It was
It was, dude, he was related to his Michigan.
It was so bad.
He was so coveted, though. Like, Bama tried to hire him the year before. He turned him down, went back to West Virginia, and then Michigan got him. So, I mean, like, when they hired him, that was the best. It was a home run. I mean, they're like,
I remember
dude,
being excited.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he goes from a place like West Virginia, where now he's going to be at Michigan and have those resources and this facility and this and that. And
yeah, we didn't get him Pat White in time, though.
He was, Denard. Yeah, it was a year, probably a year too late. Yeah, a year too late.
It'll definitely always be the cautionary tale that any athletic director who's hiring for Michigan's football position will look at, because he didn't get any support here from,
from
the Michigan community. I mean,
Lloyd Carr on his way out telling guys to transfer if you believe that stuff, which that's kind of how it played out. So it seems like that happened, but anyway. All right. This is going to be a simple, like, yes or no question. You can elaborate on it as much as you want. We're going to shift to basketball now for just a little bit. We'll come back with football.
Well, on that mark, I'm going to go get another member's mark.
Oh, Scott.
The PR people from Walmart will be calling him so soon, I'm sure. Isn't that where that's from? Maybe Sam? I don't know. Wherever the hell that water's from. It's great. I appreciate that. Thank you. Watch Sports Illustrated call me and tell me we actually have a contract with Smart Water. So if you could tell that old guy who would just stop doing that shit, like
stop drinking the cheap water,
stop doing that nonsense on camera.
If there is such a thing, then find that out for me so I can back the company.
Look at this guy. Zach Bisoff from the ropes. Looks like you've got room for one more guy on the show. I don't want to hear it. You were supposed to be here, and you're choosing not to be. So I'm going to block you. And
he sees what a good time it is.
Put him in timeout. All right, here's the question. We'll go right down the row. Nick, you go first. You're the basketball guy among us, and then we'll go to Dan. We'll go to Eric. We'll let Dad finish it out. If you have an easy button, you can push it right now. No job search, no nothing. Push the button. John Beilein is the coach today. Do you push the button, Nick?
Oh God, that's a hard one, because the memories would say yes, but it's his age.
71 years old.
It's his age that gets me. Like, he's 71 years old, and I heard somebody say it the other day. The things that drove him out of the game back when he left are worse now than what they were then.
Yeah.
So I guess. If you signed him to like a few year deal and said, hey, you're coming in here to like get us to this next guy who we have in line, maybe. Yeah. But to just say we're going to hand it over to you and you're the guy for the next 10 years, he might not live another 10 years. I mean, hopefully he does, but
that's a lot.
To me, you got to go younger.
All right, Dan.
I'm going to say no too. Same thing. Age. For me, like he did a great job here. There's no question about it. It was fun during those years, but he didn't coach during the NIL era.
Yeah.
You know, during the transfer portal era, he was gone before that ever hit. Like, things are crazier now. And this is not going to be an overnight rebuild. Give me somebody young. Don't give me any of this Michigan man crap. Just find a good basketball coach who's young and bring him in. That's where I'm at. I don't know who that guy is, to be honest with you. I really don't know, but find me somebody younger, way younger.
Yeah. All right, Eric.
Yeah, I say no, not because of his age, but because of the NIL landscape. If he was disillusioned before about what it took to keep kids in the program and recruiting them as their high schoolers, I don't think he'll want to recruit college players just to keep them in the fold still.
Yeah, and Dad, I mean, these guys gave some pretty good arguments. I saw you throwing the Go Blue up there, but
yeah. No, I would also say no, to be honest.
John Beilein is 10 years older than you, Dad.
Right. Not so much because of his age, but because of the NIL stuff.
Yeah.
And the one and done. I don't even like college basketball anymore because of the one and done. You can't get attracted to a team.
It's hard.
No team favorites, no psycho tees, no, you know, those guys that you think, like, has he been at that school for 9 years? You don't see that much anymore.
Right.
There are a few here and there, but
the women's game is better at star building right now than the men's game.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say no too. To Nick's point, if there was some like weird caveat where you could say like Beilein is the Band-Aid for 2 years, like he's gonna steady the ship for 2 years. Yep. There's no way he's going beyond that, and we'll do we'll turn over every stone for 2 years to find his replacement. then maybe, but I'm with you. Like he left like pretty surprisingly because of the changes and the recruiting was so, because he left Dan, you're right, before NIL was a thing, before transfer portal was a thing. He left because you had guys like Will Wade at LSU on the phone saying, like, I gave $500,000 for that kid. And then the next, he's still coaching. And the guy Sean Miller out Arizona is like, I paid $1 million for DeAndre Ayton. Look at my stud. And he's still coaching. Like, he was like, I'm done with this, man. I don't do none of that shit. And I can't get ahead because it's just the NCAA just allows it all to happen. And he was just fed up with it. And so now.
And what college athletes are turning into are NBA athletes. And how do you handle them?
Yeah. That didn't go very well either. His experiment with the Cavs, and then he was with the Pistons with the back, front office for a little while, and now he's.
Any votes for Jalen Rose?
I don't. No.
Scott, I think you got to go through each. I think you got to give a run for each one of the Fab Five just to see.
Yeah. Just give them all a shot, right?
Ray Jackson.
Let's just take all five of them. Let's just put all five of them on
with even less five head coaches. So,
yeah.
Michigan might have won more than 8 games this year if they tried that out.
Serious question here, though. If Howard takes the year off because of his health, is he back next year?
No, I don't think so. I think it's.
You don't think they would have given him a pass and said, "Hey, he took the whole year off, didn't coach the team at all."
Oh, if he had done that already this year?
Yes.
If he took this season off
because I've heard some reports where they kind of told him, like, "Hey, maybe you should take the whole year off," but he really wanted to come back and coach these guys.
That's an interesting point. Martelli, look, this sucks for you, but just do it, and everybody's back. Well, here's the deal. There certainly would have been nobody calling for him to be fired if they went that route like there was this year. He wouldn't have even been involved. It's like, oh, his heart, he's got to get better, which I can't imagine the toll that took on him. I know coaching's very, very stressful, dude. At that level, I can't even imagine. And he's doing it with a bum heart and trying to get better and missing the first 15 games or whatever it was, and even missed a couple down the stretch where he was just, like, gone and, like, Martelli coaches, and then he's back, and I don't know, man. It was a weird year, and a lot of reasons.
That's the hard part, because I think the Michigan fan and all of us just wanted it to work so bad.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
Everybody just wanted it, and it's unfortunate.
Well, me as a fan, I don't even put it all on Juwan.
No,
obviously he's the head guy, but I mean, NIL's bit him in the behind. It's killed him. When he first came here, he looked like maybe one of the best recruiters in the country.
Yeah.
And then you give him money and he can't get anybody to come.
Well, he was very candid. He was very candid we had a sit down with him one time and he was very open and candid about, like, we need better NIL stuff. Like, he just flat out said it. Like, he was not sugarcoating it at all. He's Michigan. Like, I can't compete. I cannot compete with, like, I need more. And that's tough, man.
Yeah, he was talking about Michigan.
Yeah, Hunter Dickinson said,
Yeah.
So that's tough, man. That's really hard. Dan, to Dan's point, you had some guys that left early that maybe shouldn't have left early. Musa Diabate, Caleb Houston, like, they're playing, but not a lot. They're not starting. They've been down in the G League a little bit here and there. And Jet Howard, same thing. Jet Howard's been in the G League. It's like, dude, those guys would have been stars.
More, if they had more NIL, those guys stick around for maybe 2 more years, get the development they need, then make the jump.
So this was kind of a weird thing. I talked about this, and I didn't know this until I think I was talking to, like, maybe like David Ojabo a few years ago or something. International players can't get NIL money. So Caleb Houston couldn't get any. Musa Diabate couldn't get any. There was one
they
other.
Probably don't have the right visa for it.
It was something to do with just not being from, like, they couldn't get, like, Ojabo, I think, talked about it, how he wasn't allowed to get any NIL money because he wasn't born in the U.S.
And
I was
like, on a student visa instead of a work visa? Yep.
That changes things quite a bit, if you're talking to, like, a guy like Diabate, like Caleb Houston.
That I could understand. Like, you're going to do what's best for you and your family. If you're going to go make some money, then you're going to do that.
And then, again, to Dan's point, there's the admission stuff. Michigan was supposed to have Terrence Shannon, who went to tear it up at Illinois. They were supposed to have Caleb Love. He goes, he's the player of the year in the Pac-12. And if Hunter Dickinson comes back for some reason, now you've got those three. They're like All-American caliber players. Instead, Juwan's working with these young guys who maybe weren't supposed to play as much this early. And whoever knows what the hell is going on with Doug McDaniel. He can't play road games, but he can play home games. I've also never seen that before.
We'll probably never hear what was that story on that, huh?
It was his, I think it was his great. He was
yeah, he said something about
was he not allowed to leave the state?
I don't know, but
something happened.
Very strange, and again, just
another on his ankle, and
his
home address is the.
And the last thing, and not talked about as much because he's kind of behind the scenes, but the John Sanderson stuff, the strength and conditioning, long-time strength and conditioning coach at Michigan.
Well, he had a couple of those issues too, Juwan.
Juwan, you know, he hits a coach for Wisconsin. Yeah. Like, dude, you look back and you start to stack all the stuff up, and that leads me right into my next question. Because you see it in the comments. We know he played for the Fab Five. We all loved the hire when he got there for various reasons. Again, I had my concerns about, you know, just the job itself. But the dude, you couldn't have found someone better. And he did recruit really well coming out of the gate. How do you feel hearing the sentence that, and I saw it in the comments, but this is literally what's going to be said now. Juwan Howard is in charge of the worst basketball season ever at Michigan. Like, that sucks.
Yeah.
Also, he was also Big Ten Coach of the Year at one point in his tenure. Like, that's, I'm telling you, everybody in the Big Ten, I shouldn't just say the Big Ten, but everybody in college sports, like, you're one season away from being Juwan Howard.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. With the way NIL is. You're one year away from it.
You know, and I'm not in this camp. Like, I do think it was time to go, but I've heard some people say, like, this could be Juwan Howard's Jim Harbaugh COVID year. You know, in a couple years, they could be winning a natty. I don't think I buy into that, but I mean, a lot of people wanted Jim out after that year.
I did.
You realize Michigan went 15-0 in football, won the national championship, and then on the basketball side, lost as many games as they ever have before. The head coach is fired. Both programs seem to be in polar ends of the spectrum.
It's like, it's and crazy how far apart coach they are
at the end of their season.
And both looking for a coach. Yeah. Harbaugh, it's a little different because the 2020 season was bad. They went 2-4. They looked awful. The culture was busted. But prior to that, he was, you know, Harbaugh was still winning like 80% of his games.
Right.
Like, Juwan's decline has just been, there hasn't been a pop back up. It's just been steady going down. And this year it hit rock bottom. You can't lose 24 games in a season and go, dude, 2-19 to close out the year. Like,
that's hard to come back from.
And getting in fist fights with your, you know, one of your most valuable staffers who's been there five times as long as you have. And it's just a lot of stuff, man. A lot of stuff. So, Dan, you said it earlier, and I do this for a job, and I'm ashamed to admit I can't name probably five guys who I would say go hire him. Like, there's a few who I know, like, you know, Nate Oates is one of the popular names. He's the head coach at Alabama. Shaka Smart's name was thrown around last time when they hired Juwan, and now he's doing a really good job at Marquette. So there, you know, there's some names that have been around college basketball for a little while. I'll go in reverse order. Chris Collins from Northwestern's another one because academic school and might be able to transfer over a little bit. I'm going to go the other direction this time. We'll end with our basketball guys. So I'll go Dad first, Eric, Dan, Nick. Not who would you get, but if you had like one trait like that the coach had to have an elite level of, like, I don't know what that was with Juwan because he had never been a coach before. I know a lot of people thought he's going to be an elite recruiter. He's from Chicago. He did this NBA thing. He's been around LeBron. He's boys with D Wade. Like, he had a lot of cachet, but it looked like it was going to pay off. He had the number one recruiting class one of the years he was at Michigan, but it wasn't sustained. So I don't know what, you know, when Juwan got there, if you could have said, all right, name me the one thing he's elite at. I don't really know if you could have given an answer. You would have hoped it was recruiting, but there was no background information to support that. So, Dad, if you were hiring Michigan's basketball coach right now, what would be the one thing was a non-negotiable? He's got to be this or have done this or be elite at what is
that? He's got to be able to teach him how to play defense.
Boom. Man, amen. Amen. They that were atrocious on defense this year at times.
Horrible. Horrible. Defense and free throws. What did I say when I was coaching? Right?
You do win games when you can do those things at a high level. Eric, what do you got?
Yeah, I think Michigan needs an X's and O's junkie. Someone that just lives, bleeds, breathes the game, all of that. Now I've got
Shaka Smart. Shaka Smart.
You look at the rookie season averages of Victor Wembanyama and LeBron James. There's like 20 years in between that time frame, but their numbers are almost exactly the same. Mm. The funny thing is the game looks remarkably different. There's wings spread across the perimeter. Big guys don't really have developed post moves nowadays. It's totally different. I want someone that can acclimate and adjust to that environment. Someone that is an X's and O's junkie.
Find any piece, put it exactly where it needs to be, and it's going to work. Oh, that sounds like John Beilein. Anyway, Dan,
yeah, I'm gonna join Scott's camp, and I'm gonna say defense too. And I was not a Beilein guy, and they had really good defenses under Beilein.
Yeah,
but again, the age and all that stuff. And so I don't know who that is, but yeah, bring me somebody in that can put it together. His defense, it's not streaky. You know,
It's gonna give you a chance every night.
When Juwan came in, I really thought, okay, we're going to be able to bring in the best big guys in the country, and we're going to be able to develop them. And like, we had big guys, but they hang out by the 3-point line. Like, they don't play big guys like Juwan played, so it didn't do us any good. Like, it's not how the game's played anymore.
All right, Mr. Basketball. Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, it's like that. I mean, positionless basketball is like the hip term now, and guys don't bang in the post. Like, yeah, they don't play like Juwan played. I can't remember. I think, did Juwan shoot 2 threes his entire career? I think that's a stat. I have to look. But it was, it's nothing like it is now. Nick, Mr. Basketball, what's your one non-negotiable?
It's hard for me because I coach at the high school level, and we can kind of rein people in and just say, hey, this is what you're doing. Because I would say defense as well. The problem is, you then got to go out and recruit, and you got to find kids that want to do that. Yeah. And not every kid wants to go out there and play defense for 40 minutes. They don't want to do it. Everybody's attracted to, I'm going to get 10 3-point attempts a game. I want to be flashy on offense. Yeah. Like, so it's going to be tough because you want to establish a culture in a cultureless environment now where kids want to come in, play 1 year. If you're not playing the style that they want to play, they're going to leave. I don't envy whoever takes this job.
Yeah, you're seeing all these like big time coaches leaving because of this stuff. Like Jay Wright's not coaching anymore. I mean, dude, I can't believe Izzo is still somehow hanging on with the way he coaches.
He shouldn't be.
So, yeah.
This is not his best performance. That's for sure.
Yeah, not his best year. I mean, I could get on board with defense. I still think you need to. One of Juwan's biggest downfalls, but he didn't recruit shooters. And that the game is you can't win if you can't shoot. And he didn't have enough 3-point shooters any of his years, really, except for maybe that first year when that was pretty much all Beilein's guys. He had Isaiah Livers. Beilein always had shooters. He'd find them, he'd bring them in, and they made some big shots for him, going all the way back to Trey Burke and Stauskas and a bunch of other those white dudes that could just put up threes, dude, and they could shoot it. Juwan never really seemed to prioritize that, and I think that was a big problem. I don't know why dudes couldn't play defense. Like Nick said, some guys don't want to do it, but you can. I don't know. We're all 40-year-old dudes that came up at a different time, but like you could learn how to play defense. Maybe you can't learn that anymore. I don't know.
17, 18, 19-year-old kids, they just go, I got to score 20 points a game and get to the league. Like, playing defense ain't going to get me there.
That's it. So when I thought about this question, you guys did a better job answering it probably than I did. Mine was just much more sweeping. I wouldn't even look at anybody unless they had been a head coach before. Like that's number one. I don't want some guy who's been an incredible assistant. He's like, oh, he's an up and comer. He's been in charge of this part of our program. He's great at that. Like, give me a guy who has been a head coach for a handful of years. That's kind of going back to the Sharon argument before that I said, but I'm with you. Defense, I would try to prioritize shooting more than Juwan did. You could say recruiting, but again, with Michigan's admissions and NIL and all, it's hard, dude. Like, Juwan went from recruiting big-time guys to, like, you know, the last couple of classes have been not strong, and now they're not even at the program anymore. They've transferred out.
Easier to get into MSU.
We have more men on the podcast
Scott, right now than there are. Does this hire have to be a Michigan man, Scott? Or is basketball different?
Basketball's different.
Basketball is different.
Okay.
Basketball is different.
Wanted to see where you were at on that.
It's an interesting point to be made. I don't even know who would qualify. Yeah.
No. Nobody. That'd be a good...
There was one of the what the heck was his name?
Jamal Crawford.
I do like Jamal Crawford. He seems to have a little bit more of a coaching mind. But anyway, Juwan Howard, who's a Jalen Rose. I just feel like he's done some really good things in his community. He's got a high school like that he runs, but like, I don't know. He just, I don't know if he has the mentality to be a coach. I could see Jamal Crawford maybe doing it, but anyway. All right. We'll finish out with football. We'll do about another 10 minutes. Nick, I thought maybe you were going to have, you're just having too much fun. That's what it is. I thought Nick might have to leave early, but he's here. We're 55 minutes in and we'll start putting a bow on it here pretty quick. So, I think the biggest question mark going into the football season is obviously the quarterback position. When you go from JJ, who goes 27 or 28 and one, whatever it is, and can do it all. He's athletic enough to do this. He can throw it this way. He can throw it that way. He's a leader. He's like the golden boy. He's like the poster child for who you want playing quarterback for your team. And now Michigan's got to find somebody who's, I don't know. I mean, I guess Jack Tuttle's your most experienced guy. If you want to watch film on anybody, he's about the only one you can do that with. Maybe not necessarily who, because I think it's still a little bit fluid. We'll see after spring ball if Michigan jumps back in the portal and tries to find another quarterback. So we'll just go right there. Do you think Michigan's quarterback is on the roster right now, or do you hope that they do go find somebody a little more established in the
orgy in the end zone?
I don't think people are going to, I think a lot of people are going to feel that way, but Dad, how's he look throwing it?
He can throw it.
Dad must have a pass to the practices that I was not aware of, because I don't think I've seen him. I don't think he had a pass attempt. If that's not, is that accurate? He ran it a bunch of times, but anyway,
he didn't have a pass.
I don't think he did.
I think they called one that he ended up keeping.
They called one. And he kept it.
They called one
that he was supposed to throw and he didn't end up throwing.
Yeah,
I think so, that's it.
Dan, what are your thoughts? I mean, you went to a lot of games this year. You saw some of those dudes play in garbage time.
I'm going to answer your question by not answering your question. as much as quarterback is the king in football, like, I don't know that that's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
I mean, what beyond JJ, like, what did Jim Harbaugh do it with?
Yeah. Right?
Keep building that offensive line. Keep pounding that rock. Keep playing defense. I mean, you got to have a quarterback. Don't get me wrong. But does it have to be an elite passer? You know, I think it could be Orgy. I think it could be Tuttle. I think it could be any of them. I think this team, like, the key to not having this team just absolutely tank after winning a national championship, like, go out there and win 9-10 games next year. I don't think it necessarily revolves around that quarterback as much as you might think.
Yeah. Tough schedule. Very tough schedule compared to this past season, but you make a point, because everybody always, like, the argument all year was like, just imagine JJ playing for USC or imagine him playing for Texas. Yeah. It's like, well, he doesn't. He plays for Michigan and he threw it 11 times and they won by 30. So there you go. You know, like, that was every week. And they talked about it, like, the starters didn't play in the fourth quarter till like week 9 or something. I mean, mm-hmm. you're not going to have, they lost a ton, you know, 18 guys at the combine, 20 plus making it to the NFL. The roster is very, very different. But to your point, it's probably going to be a lot of the same kind of stuff, I would think. I don't know. Nick, are you cool with, all right, Jack Tuttle, seventh year senior, let's see what you got? Or Orgy, run the ball 17 times a game? I mean, what does it look like?
I think the quarterback is on the roster. I don't know with Tuttle. The thing that is intriguing about Orgy is the amount of pressure he would take off Edwards in the run game.
Yeah.
Because you can't focus on the running back now. With JJ in there, we knew JJ could keep it, but they weren't going to do it because they were protecting him. He was a little bit smaller. Orgy's a beast. Like, when he keeps the ball and he's running linebackers over.
You remember? Mm-hmm. Well, we all remember what Jalen Milroe looked like for Alabama. Orgy's right. 15 pounds heavier than him.
Exactly. So, yeah. You get the right coach in there working with him that can put the right game plan in and says, hey, you don't have to make the pinpoint JJ McCarthy pass here and there, but we're going to do a lot of read option with you. You're going to read this one guy and hit this short pass. I think they can be successful with that, to Dan's point, because you're going to have a good defense on the other side.
Yeah.
Take the air out of the ball, run it, make the manageable passes, manage the game with him. And I think, I don't know. I that to me is what I'm most looking forward to. And he's going to be going against guys in practice that are going to be better than most defenses he's going to see.
Yeah, no
and doubt. You even asked the I think Brandon, you may have talked about it. The guys that were on the first team defense would talk about going against him.
Yeah.
You know, in practice when he was simulating other guys, like, he's tough.
He's the real deal. I mean, yeah, 6'3", 235, you know, just yoked. I mean, he's that's what I was going to say. Like, you ran JJ 2-3, maybe 8 times a game if he's really getting after it with his leg. You could run Orgy 15 times a game, and he's going to be fine. And yeah, so
– Edwards could have the same number of carries.
Yeah. Literally. But you see that. You know, you do see that with some programs when they have a real weapon there. I mean, Milroe is a good example of it for Alabama.
Well, not only is he bigger and he's going to be more dependent or more hold up better to the pounding, but also like there's not the drop off there was from JJ to whoever was next to. So if he does get injured, like it's not like any of those other guys can't step in and do the same kind of thing he's doing.
Yeah.
So and then, you know, you didn't want to lose JJ, but you know,
yeah,
if he gets banged up and somebody else got to start a game or two, it won't be as huge of a drop off.
Yeah, Eric, is it Orgy or is it are you shopping the portal?
No, I'm not doing either of those. I need to see more from Jaden Davis, obviously.
Oh, the freshman.
Who knows? We've seen Alex Orgy run a whole lot. If he was a great passer, I think that would be part of the plan up to this point already. We'd be familiar with it. I think Jaden Davis is a big question mark. He could be the answer. There would be growing pains, but we're expecting growing pains no matter what. There's a difficult schedule next year. Maybe try it out.
Yeah, it's not the craziest thought because like they're not going 15-0. Dude, that schedule it's brutal. We're gonna get to that. It's gonna be the last thing. Dad, do you want to chime in real quick? And I know you said Orgy in the end zone. Do you have anything else to add? Any of some substance here?
I would have him be the starter for the first several games. Mm-hmm. Alex Orgy, and then when they're up 35-0. Bring in the freshman. Let him get a lot of good reps.
Well, week two is Texas, so
I know that, but I know
gonna
that.
Need to.
If anybody in the country, and if anybody in the country doesn't say Michigan has the toughest schedule, they're high.
Yeah. By the way, Alex Orgy from Texas. Just throw that out there.
Okay.
We've seen Jim. I know Jim Harbaugh's not there anymore, but we've seen them highlight. Remember Roman Wilson when Hawaii came to town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Texas being the second game, but it is, you know, it's not a Big Ten game. So,
Yeah. Texas.
I play Alex, you know, build up the lead and let the freshmen come in and get good reps against good teams. And then,
Brandon, what's your move at quarterback?
Go with the freshman. The Big Ten.
I love the idea of Alex Orgy being even a 65%, you know, reliable passer. Like to Nick's point, you know, I don't need an ear hole whistler like JJ threw against Ohio State and Michigan State, but can you do the check downs? Can you play the screen game? Can you get it to Samaj on a bubble? Can you hit somebody on a slant? Can you throw it 50 yards? Yeah. Can you hit Colston Loveland up the seam a couple times? And can you throw it 50 yards down the field three times a game? He's got a big arm. There's no question about his arm strength, but
yeah.
I wonder about that. You know, now you've got Kirk Campbell, a former quarterbacks coach, calling the plays. You've got Sharon back there now instead of Jim Harbaugh. You know, they didn't take very many shots downfield last year with JJ, and he's looking like he's going to be a top five pick in the NFL. Yeah. So I wonder how different it looks, you know, with Orgy or, you know, Tuttle doesn't have the arm strength that JJ does. Davis Warren certainly doesn't, or whoever it might be back there. I will say this, Eric, I don't hate your point. We were down there and we were allowed to see. You guys remember JJ looked pretty thin, and he's up to like 219 now. But in his uniform, running around, he looks a little spindly. He looked like he needed to go on such a diet standing next to Jaden Davis. Dude was so skinny. Like his like spandex underneath was like baggy. Yeah. His shoulder pads were like moving on him. I'm like, oh, that's a freshman right there. And, you know, he'll change quite a bit from now until September. But, yeah, it was amazing to see because you always think of JJ as looking kind of thin at, you know, 6'3", 205, I think he played at, something like that.
Yeah.
And then next to Jaden Davis, he looked like a bodybuilder. I'm like, dude, that's the difference right there between a junior and a freshman. But we'll see. Jaden Davis, talented kid, obviously the kid they wanted all through the whole cycle. They got him, and, you know, we'll see what that ends up looking like. All right, last but not least here, we kind of started touching on it a little bit. And then we'll get out of here and let these guys go live their lives. Sharon's first year. We mentioned the schedule. It's got USC. It's got Oregon. It's got UCLA. It's got Washington. It's got Texas. That's insane. Like, the run of games that they play, some of them are out west, you know, with the new Big Ten teams. You do bring Texas to Ann Arbor. Dad said it, you know, you're high if you don't think that's the toughest schedule. It's got all the playoff teams represented except for Alabama. It's crazy. Now the playoff does get 12 in. So what we'll do the five panel question thing again. What is acceptable or what do you think for Sharon's first year? You can give a record guess. You can say it's got to be this. He's got to beat Ohio State again. He's got to make the 12 team. Like, what is acceptable for Sharon in year one? And what do you think? Is it the same? How am I going to word this? Is your expectation the same thing as what's acceptable? Because I think those can be two different things. Like, he's got to get here. I don't know if he's going to, though. Let's go. Eric, go ahead and get us started with that one.
I think with the expanded playoff, he needs to make the playoffs again, four straight years for Michigan. But if he misses it and it's close, Michigan has like a good argument to make the playoffs and they're one of the first couple teams out, I think that's fine. If he misses the playoffs and really the Wolverines didn't have a chance, he's going to feel pretty uncomfortable heading into next season.
All right. Dad, what do you think? I mean, you think you've toned down the slappiness a little bit, but usually pick Michigan to go 12-0. You happen to be right last year, but I don't know. Do you think that is that what you're seeing already right now?
They are going to repeat as national champs.
Jesus Christ.
They may lose a game, but I don't know. I think we're going to be pleasantly surprised because the defense is still going to be stellar. And I think you might see the Penn repeat of the Penn State game all year long.
We didn't even talk about Wink. I wanted to talk about Wink, I forgot. We'll put that on the back burner.
Their defense is going to be stellar. It really is. They may never throw the ball the whole game, all season long. Ten passes all season. They're going to make teams stop them from running, and I don't think anybody can.
So just a caveat here. I was looking this up while Eric was talking about it. Last year, the final playoff rankings before the playoffs started. So Michigan number one, Alabama down to number four, and in between Washington and Texas, number 13. So they would have been on the outside looking in was LSU, and they were the first team with three losses. So conceivably, a team with three losses could maybe get in. Last year, it wouldn't have happened, but. You know, depending on how that shakes out, you might get a couple in.
Yeah. But Michigan's not going to lose three times, so they'll definitely be in the playoff.
So, I mean, that's not crazy, but
I like it.
14-1. 14-1 repeat champs.
Dan, what do you see?
Mark it.
Well, I don't think I'm as optimistic as Scott. I do think we will have a top 10 defense. I mean, maybe top five, top six even. Just because of the returning starters, and you got the OG in there now.
I wish we would have talked about Wink, man. I'm bummed we didn't.
He's been fun so far.
Yeah, he has been.
And I think all that aside about it being fun, I think that's true. I don't think there'll be a major drop off defensive scheme wise. Yeah. So I mean, they should be able to just pick up running where they left off. But I think the thing you got to ask to answer your question, you got to ask yourself, what would the expectations be if Jim Harbaugh had stayed?
Yeah, it's tough, man.
You expected a drop-off. I mean, with this schedule and that much loss. Nice job, CJ.
Yeah, what does Mr. Brown have in that water bottle? We're trying to figure him out.
Even for the league.
Come on, CJ.
Even if Jim stayed, like, you know, I'm calling for at least two losses if Jim stayed.
Numbers mark, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, 8 or 9 wins, and I don't think you can like run him out of town.
Yeah, so every year before we have Nick kind of close this out, every year you look at Michigan's schedule and you kind of say like, okay, the season is like, it's really like three games. And you just hope they don't trip up and lose one of the stupid ones to Maryland or Indiana or something. Last year it was like, okay, Penn State, Ohio State. I don't know who was the third one maybe last year. You kind of can throw Michigan State on there. I don't know. They've been pretty bad. But this year, it's like 5 or 6 games. It's Texas at home. It's USC.
USC. Oregon.
It's at Washington. Oregon at home. And at Ohio State. It's 5 games if you don't even count Michigan State or
Minnesota. Well, they're not going to lose to Ohio.
It's in Columbus. I mean,
realistically,
though,
you got to say you got the other 7. You have to win.
Yeah.
And then out of those 5, you got to get me 2 or 3 of them.
Yep.
And that gets so you to a nine, that gets you to a 9 or 10 win season. And to me, coming off of your first year, you got the keys to the Ferrari, like we talked about. I think Chiron gets a little more leash with it being his first year and losing all the guys to the NFL draft like they did. I think that would meet a lot of people's expectations if you can get 9 or 10 wins.
10 wins puts him in a good spot.
Wins, that's almost for sure in the playoff.
Yeah.
9 and 3 might be, but might not be. And then again, it's is it a, I don't even want to say the words, but is it a 25-point loss to Ohio State? Like, that's not cool after what you've done the last 3 years.
Not all 10 wins are created equally.
That's exactly right.
If you win 10 games and one of those wins is Ohio State, they'll probably start erecting a statue now.
Yeah, exactly.
If he gets blown out by them, it's a very different 10-win season.
Yeah. Texas is obviously your one tough game that doesn't count against your conference standing, so that schedule is awesome. Texas, SC, Washington, Oregon, Ohio State, Michigan, that's freaking sweet, dude. The only cupcake, because really Fresno State's not a pushover either. That's the opener, is Arkansas State. That's the only layup on the whole thing. I mean, Illinois.
Two Indiana, of those games we keep pointing to, SC is not going to be the same.
They're going to take a drop by.
And they lost like 5 games or something, right?
Yeah.
We act like they're this juggernaut.
With Caleb, with Caleb Williams,
4 games, 5 games. And then Washington lost. I mean, they lost their coach. They lost their quarterback. Washington lost a lot, Let's not pretend they're going to be the same Washington team either.
But you're going to Washington, so.
Right.
Yeah, playing in Seattle's tough. Yes, and on the flip side, SC coming all the way to Ann Arbor.
Yeah,
it's early. Can you imagine if that was like mid-November?
I keep thinking that too. With these new teams coming in, it's like you need to come in the snow.
Absolutely.
Playoffs though.
Oregon's coming in the beginning of November, but it gets a little cold up there. It's not quite the same as Southern Cal coming, but
the one thing I hate about the new playoff though is if you win a bye, you don't get a home game.
You don't get your home game. I know.
I get a bye and everyone else gets a home game. I don't get one.
What about next year when they go to 14?
You want to be team number 5. Just to get a home game.
Yeah, because it would fun
to have. Good point.
I wanted to play bowl games in Ann Arbor for so long. It is going to be fun.
Yeah, the schedule is sweet. Damn, we missed. I didn't write down Wink. I'm mad. I wrote down Chiron's staff, and I didn't put Wink on there specifically, and that's my bad. We will talk about Wink Martindale next week. I don't know if these guys are going to be back. I hope, dude, there are 600 people watching us right now. That's wild. That's
I can do
it. Love you all. Love every one of you.
I can love do it, but I'll be in St. Petersburg. I'll be doing it from the beach.
Well, that's up to you, Nick. I will not demand to jump on for that one. But, for the first time, 5 of us on here, I think it went real smooth. We had 700 people watching. That's incredible. So shout out to everybody who sat along and listened to us for an hour because, I don't know. I felt like we did a good job. I enjoyed it. Hopefully everybody else did, too. That's a bigger number than we used to do before. That's encouraging. It's off season. Spring ball's not even really going on.
I had 150 of my students log in.
Yeah, hardly. Yeah, Nick says, if you want to pass the class, you will watch this podcast tonight.
Yep.
The whole village of the Lothrop is in here right now.
Whole town.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah,
seeing that shirt.
That's pretty good. Awesome. All right, fellas. That's the show. We will be back again. I will be back for sure. Maybe Eric, maybe Scott. We'll see with Dan and Nick. They've got lives and kids and businesses to run. And also Nick's got, I don't know. Are you coaching anything else, Nick, or is that it?
No, I quit.
Okay. Excellent. So there you go. We'll see who's back next week. Might even recruit another guy or two. We'll see. But thank you so much for watching. And, we'll be back next week on Wednesday.